Direct from fox.com.au, the Matt and Joe Show podcast.
In everything that Matt and Joe's next guest stars in,
he always delivers an awesome line
that people will quote annoyingly for years.
Like in Pulp Fiction.
Which one is it? It's the one that says bad motherfucker.
And Snakes on a Plane.
I have had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane.
And now even nursery rhymes.
You're cozy and warm in your bed, my dear. Please go the fuck to sleep.
It's the motherfucking Hollywood superstar that we're glad we have the motherfucking beep button for, Samuel L. Jackson.
Thank you for joining us. It's very exciting for us to speak to you. Me, principally, because I believe on this planet you are the chief custodian of the word motherfucker.
I may have some rights to it, yeah.
Yeah, because it seems like nobody says it better than you.
Oh, thank you.
Is there anyone that you feel in your life that you would not say motherfucker to, that you would not use that language for? You know, maybe a teacher, or if you were to meet the president, or...
Not really.
No.
Sometimes, you know, it's descriptive, colorful, and pretty much, you know, everybody knows what you're talking about when you say it.
For yeah. sure. I also think it's the domain of the person in charge, and that's where you find yourself in a lot of your movies, even the Avengers, of course. You're kind of like the boss dude, and it gets everyone's attention.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they are pretty much the roles you play now. Is that the way you like it?
Try and do things as diverse as I possibly can. You know, sometimes I'll find a comedy, but... You know, I've done comedies that are full of motherfuckers, so
yeah.
It just happens.
Can I wonder, would there be a time when you might cross over, sort of in the way that Jack Nicholson has, into like the rom-com area or a romance film? Can you see yourself doing that?
No.
No,
I haven't quite, you know, wrapped my head around rom-com yet. No.
No, and I certainly don't see you in the incontinent old guy domain either, which Jack Nicholson's not far off.
No, I'm not quite ready for the Pampers role. Yeah, I'm not there.
Samuel, one of the astounding figures that surrounds you is, according to the Guinness Book of Records, and there's all kinds of ways to measure this, but you are the highest grossing actor of all time in terms of the films you've been in, cumulatively, have made $7.42 billion.
Yeah, so I hear. If only I had a piece of that.
How does that feel?
It's dubious. Yeah, you know, I'm fortunate enough to have been in a couple of big movies. Most of them have the name Star Wars on them. I've done these Marvel movies, which is probably going to keep me on top for a while until they make enough of those kid vampire movies. But right now, it's kind of fun.
These Marvel movies, I think you signed on for 8, is it, or another 8? It's like
9.
Okay.
9.
And
yeah.
Something else I read, because people often think, you know, what are actors like? They're difficult, they're demands. I hear that in your contract when you make a movie, you must be allowed time to play golf. Is that correct?
At least twice a week.
And that's a deal breaker if they won't give you that?
Not really. I mean, if it's winter, it's okay. They don't have to say yes. You know, if I'm going somewhere to shoot where it's freezing, like we did Long Kiss Goodnight, which happens to be my favorite movie, I don't worry about it. But if it's a nice place, the climate's good, yeah, twice a week's, you know, pretty much necessary.
You mentioned Long Kiss Goodnight there, which I did a snap poll of the chicks in the office here, and pretty much all of them mentioned that as their favorite film of yours.
That is the most badass chick movie on the planet.
Gina Davis, unbelievable. But,
yeah.
You know, I read that you felt like you needed to take an active role in the marketing of that film because they were getting it all wrong. Do you often sort of step in where the execs are and, you know, tell the studios what to do? Are you at that kind of level now?
Occasionally they ask my opinion. They used to anyway. You know, these days, I mean, there's a whole new business model now and all these guys are like, you know, they're businessmen and they do... You know, they set up all these graphs and all these, you know, studies and things, and they've already figured out how to market the film before they even shoot it.
Yeah.
So they don't talk to us about it at all. You know, they have certain elements that go into the film that make the film this, that make it appeal to this audience or that audience. And, you know, they think they have it figured out, aside from the fact that, you know, you can tell a good story and have some people in there that audience members believe. You know, you need good story and good actors. Those are two things that they kind of overlook a lot of times.
Beyond movies, you also starred in an audio version of the Bible, and they cast you as God.
Mm-hmm.
What does the voice of God sound like? Did you big it up, or are you just as you are?
No, it sounds like me.
So, at times, you're a little bit annoyed, a little bit high-pitched, a little bit, damn, motherfucker. What is that?
Like all fathers. You know, like your father, you know, your father talks to you in different kinds of ways, you know. He gives you advice in one way, and he tells you he's proud of you another way, and he tells you he's going to kick your ass in another way.
Right.
It always works out.
Any particular verses spring to mind that you could give us an example of?
Jesus wept.
Nice, nice.
All right. Samuel, I also believe that you recently at a basketball match, that famous speech you do from Pulp Fiction, you interjected the names of the Hornets, was it?
Yes, the New Orleans Hornets is where I am now, yeah, in New Orleans.
Is that what you're asked to say the most, more than anything else, that particular speech from Pulp Fiction?
People ask me the most what they call a quarter pounder with cheese in France.
And I go,
I don't know what.
It's a royale.
Every now and then people will pass me in the car and they'll go, say what again? And I go, oh,
again.
That, of course, is one of the more famous lines from your great movie, Pulp Fiction. Actually, Samuel, we were wondering, do you reckon you could recite that famous speech you do in there and include maybe Matt and Joe in it, that biblical quote?
Include Matt and Joe in it. Okay. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers, and you will know their name is Matt and Joe.
There it is.
That is brilliant. Thank you so much, Samuel L. Jackson. Such a pleasure to speak with you.
You're so very welcome.
Thank you.
See ya.
See ya.
All righty. Enjoy.
Do you remember just a few weeks ago, 5 or 6 weeks ago, the Kony 2012 campaign hit the world like a nuclear bomb?
It was probably the biggest viral activist campaign we've ever seen. And it all called for action on the 20th of April. It is the 20th of April today.
180 million people were summoned to do something today.
Yes.
To try and bring down this guy who heads the Lord's Resistance Army. Joseph Kon, is it believed the correct way to say his name? Remarkable.
Yes, please give us a call, 131060, because at that time, the Kony 2012 campaign called you to, on the 20th of April, get all of their posters, so you were to purchase the posters online.
Hit the streets.
And hit the streets and just blanket your town with those bright red Kony 2012 posters. The idea is to identify him, basically.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, out him such that the world gets off its butt and does something.
So call us, 131060. Are you still committed to that campaign, or at the time you thought, yes, I'm doing it, whereas now you're going, it's raining.
I don't know
if I can be bothered.
Someone has said that on our Facebook page. No, it's raining. Someone else has said, I don't know whether to do that or celebrate Hitler's birthday. It's a hard choice.
And how, I mean, you know, we saw that terrible meltdown for Jason Russell that was so public. Is that the thing that has made you change your mind? Has the campaign lost its momentum, or do you still care? Are you still going to get out there tonight?
Madeline in Preston, are you planning on getting out there tonight?
Yeah, I am.
Have you bought posters?
Yeah, I bought an actual, like, action pack where you get, like, the T-shirt and everything with it.
Well, good on you.
Yeah.
You know, it's better than spending it on grog on a Friday night.
Are you going to head out with a bunch of friends, Madeline?
Yeah, well, I'm working till 9, so I'm going to meet a few people in the city and take it from there.
Are you worried about being prosecuted or getting in trouble for putting up posters where you shouldn't?
No, I haven't really thought about it, actually. I don't want to tell you where we're going.
Well, it would be a grouchy cop, I reckon, who stops this. But then again, you know, if it's your shop window, you might be a bit miffed.
All right, let's go to Funda in Greenvale. The Kony posters tonight, are you going to be painting the city with them?
No, definitely not. I think it's all a scam.
Well, Funda, I can assure you the work of Joseph Kon is no scam. In fact, the president of Uganda put out his own YouTube video, only had 200,000 watches.
I've seen some of the videos. There's heaps going around, and when you watch some of them, it just sounds like it's not realistic, and especially the fact that it's coming out of America. So
what do you think is a scam? What part of it do you think is lies?
Well, there's so many videos going on, and apparently this all started many years ago, so it just seems like they're just trying to create some awareness of something that existed a while ago when there's so much more going on around the world. So.
But it's been going on for a long time. That's half their point. It's time for it to stop.
Supposedly, what they refer to as Kony has actually moved out of there and, you know, into other countries, and it's not really as bad as it used to be.
No, I know. And the president of Uganda has said to all those movie stars who've got on board, come and have a 5-star party at our country. It's all good.
Right.
But those children are still damaged.
Yes.
Still being
very
hurt.
Much so.
It's got a Joe in Springvale.
How you going, guys?
What are your thoughts on it, Joe?
I just think it's a social media tool that has being used to take advantage of the youth today by getting you involved in charities just by liking something. I mean, how many of the people that actually liked the video are actually going to do something about it?
Well,
yeah, I mean, I will say that it's the easiest form of activism and sort of a bit of a cop-out, I suppose, for some people who are just going to say, oh, well, I liked it. That's all I need to do.
But you know what? It's the most powerful form of activism now. Companies switch decisions based on tweets they see and trends they see.
Talking, Carney, 2012 and the Painting the City posters are supposed to be happening all over
Look,
the town.
Look, if it was getting kids to like a bad product full of sugar, sure, but, like, they can only be good, can't they?
Well, and we just heard from Madeline who said she's heading out to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Will, are you heading out to do it tonight?
Yeah, we ordered the packages and they never came. So, yeah, we would have loved to do it, but never got the chance.
You can go and buy some texters and some big pieces of paper and do your best. Yeah, all the girls did it for One Direction. Why can't you?
That's it.
We got a call. It's Anna. Hi, Anna.
How are you going?
We say all the time that you can call any time, and you have done with the most extraordinary story of an evening last night.
Yes.
What happened?
Well, I was trying to make some mashed potato.
Sure.
And I was carrying the pot over to the bench and a little bit of the water fell out and I slipped on that and then the pot of hot water fell onto the ground and I slipped again. So I face planted my floorboards, chipped the tooth out, burnt my right hand and broke the wrist on my left. So
please tell me you're filming all this.
Oh, my God.
So cooking is very dangerous.
Yes. That is like, what are the chances of those three things happening all in one?
I don't know. My poor son was watching, he just screamed and ran away because there was blood everywhere. And
a disaster. God. And, you know, it's not like you were trying to cook an exotic thing. It was just mash.
That's right.
So broken wrist, agony.
Yes.
Are you crying in pain?
Yes.
Did you have to call an ambulance?
No, my husband, well, first mopped up all the mashed potato.
Oh, good on him, yes.
He didn't want the mess everywhere.
Save the dinner.
He was hungry.
And then we got into the car. We went to the dental hospital first.
Oh, for the tooth, yes.
Yes, but they couldn't cap it for some reason. They could only give me some painkillers.
Okay. Right.
After the dental hospital, we went to the Royal Melbourne.
For the burns?
For a while, for the burns and for the break in the wrist.
So,
I've got a plaster and everything.
All right. Now, you've called us with what request? What are you after?
Well, I need a dentist. I've got a wedding to go to tomorrow.
Oh, and you look like a yokel with no teeth.
<Yeah. laughs> And you don't want to do a reading with a lisp?
No.
No. No. And all I need is a dentist that can fit me in just to cap it temporarily so I can go to this wedding and at least smile or try to smile.
And what? You haven't been able to find an appointment?
No.
Oh,
no.
Well, let us be the Fox Pages for you.
Please, please. So if you just put it out there, if anyone's got any time today or even tomorrow, I'll stay like this for another day.
Right.
It's in Swan Hill, so I need to leave by about 12 o'clock in the morning tomorrow. So if anyone could just sit me in.
So you've got the money, you just need the dentist.
Yes.
Oh,
sure.
Anna, sure.
Well,
now, obviously, closer is better. Where are you?
I live in Gowanbury, which is near Airport West.
Right, okay.
Around this side, I will travel.
Okay, 13 10 60. Then, if you are a dentist, a dental nurse, someone with dental ambitions,
yes,
who's good at bluffing,
well, someone qualified, we hope for.
Well, I don't think Anna's that fussy, are you?
No, not at the
Otherwise,
moment,
you just get some blue tack and some liquid paper, and you make your own.
That sounds good.
Please give us a call if you think you can help our yokel Anna.
Thanks, guys.
She's gonna pay you proper and all that.
Thanks.
We always say, and it's true, you can join us anytime you like on 13 10 60.
Anna did.
Yeah.
She's in the middle of a disaster.
Anna, I'm amazed you're not you're lisping to us as you speak to us.
I have got a little bit of a lisp, you just probably can't.
Yeah, no, I heard it there. You were cooking dinner last night, some mashed potato was being carried to the sink. You slipped, and in some kind of slapstick movie manoeuvre, you broke your wrist, smashed your tooth out, blood everywhere.
Oh.
You've got a wedding to go to and you're missing a tooth.
Yep.
Is it the front tooth?
Yes, it is.
Oh, that's pretty.
Yeah.
That's a great look. Well, you've not been able to get a dentist appointment.
No.
Well, maybe you could just pop a cigarette in there and that could be the prop.
You've got all manner of solutions, none of them good.
That's right.
Amy, you say that a lot.
Amy in Melbourne, you think you can help?
Absolutely. Oh, thanks.
Whereabouts are you, Amy?
Sorry?
Whereabouts are you?
So I'm calling from Smile Solutions in Melbourne in the city.
Oh, perfect. Right.
Lovely. So, sorry, was it Anna?
Yes, it was.
Anna, lovely. When would you like to come down for an appointment?
Oh, okay.
Whenever you can fit me in.
Whenever you can get... Well, I've got something at 9 o'clock this morning.
I don't know if I can make it that time.
In about half hour or so.
How about 10:30?
Yeah, that sounds perfect.
How about 2:30? Yeah, come on.
Yes, I hear that all the time.
Yes, I know.
Yes, perfect. There you go.
Oh, wonderful. Bye. See, problem solved.
Thank you.
Okay, wonderful.
You'll be able to smile again.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Let's see if we can knock a bit of discount off that by saying thank you, Smile Solutions.
Yes.
You've given us all a smile.
More and more people are going to uni, and that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different space now. It used to be full of just hippies and weirdos and intellects.
Mm.
When I was at uni...
Which one were you? Hippie, weirdo,
I was
or
part
intellect.
Of the change. Yeah. I was a fat guy who drank beer.
Right.
Everyone thought he was in engineering, but no, he was studying arts.
I went to uni to learn to pick up boys.
Mm. Oh, what? No one really goes for the piece of paper and the awkward photo.
Yeah.
With the mortarboard hat. But... I did as part of my degree, and it must have been because the scheduling gave me Fridays off, pursue a minor sequence in feminism.
Right. I also studied feminism. At uni.
And so I came across
well.
A lot of girls who were particularly feisty and I was particularly nervous around.
Yeah.
I felt like I was in an abattoir and I was at the front of the queue.
Sure.
And
there's a vehemence with which they look at you in their hairy armpits, yeah. Which I had, by the way, very hairy armpits.
Yeah, you were one of those.
Did you?
Just a little late.
Come here and sniff this.
Oh.
Yeah. And some of them would spell the word woman with a Y in it. So it was women. There was a women's room.
Mm. Yeah.
Because they wanted no part of the male.
Right.
Associated with them. And I saw yesterday, just in the shops, that despite all this forward marching by the sisters, they still have man-sized tissues. I didn't think we were allowed to say man-size anything. Salada still refer to the man-size, the snack size and the bite size.
Yes.
So I want to ask chicks who are at uni, any sort of uni, whether they're offended by that.
All right.
Well,
I thought we'd moved well and truly past man-size anything.
Well, I think... In one regard, it is a descriptive term because like a man-sized tissue, they are so enormous.
What's wrong with large? XXL.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. But it implies, I suppose, for men who somehow have a larger noggin. I don't know.
Big
I don't
honker.
Know.
But it's not
but
a
for
term.
For myself, I just think it is exclusionary language.
Yeah.
And it's teaching young girls that, oh, I'm not going to be a man. And better. I'm not going to be a man, so somehow I don't deserve a salada.
Yes. Can you say that about a chick who's had implants? She's got man-sized cans.
It does sort of become a fabric of our society,
well,
and it really
out.
Feeds patriarchy.
All right, let's go to Sylvia.
There we go. Jo's remembered her homework.
No, it's true.
Hello.
Sylvia.
Yes, hello.
Are you offended by the fact that there are still man-sized tissues and they couldn't just be called large?
Not really. No.
No.
Terrific. That's all we're wanting to know.
All right.
Sylvia Nicola. Doesn't mind.
What about you? Are you offended by the word man-size, Nicola?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. Gee, the sisters are taking a break.
Well, you know, there has been a lot written recently about the term feminist.
Right.
Because Jackie O actually gave an interview where she said, no, I'm not a feminist, no.
Right, as if it's a bad thing.
Yes, and I think for a lot of women... They associate that term with some kind of
was in
dirty
the 70s
kinda,
when you burn
you know,
your bra.
Militant kind of thing.
No.
It's not, ladies.
Beck in Williams Landing.
Hi, how are you going?
You're at uni as we speak?
No, I'm on my way.
What do you study?
Law.
Smart cookie?
Thank you.
Don't waste it like I did. Beck, are you offended? Do you think we're done with the word man size in commercial operations?
Absolutely.
Right.
Well done, Beck.
You're going to get a high distinction. All right, Beck, the condition is the bad things go too. So man-eating shark is person-eating shark?
Absolutely.
Great.
Yeah, I like it, Beck.
Okay, good.
All chicks would be happy for man-eating shark to stay.
Nice one, Beck.
Particularly the feminists who consider men mere burly.
I was going to say, what about man-eating women?
Rachel in Altona Meadows.
I can stay too.
Yes.
Are you offended by the word man-size, Rach?
I'm not offended, but I wonder if they're ever going to have something that's, like, female size. Like, why don't we get a size?
Because you'll spend your lives trying to get more petite.
Mm.
Or you're saying small things, like the little version of M&M's. You know, the tiny ones should be called
lady
bits.
Size.
Lady bits.
Yeah, like little things.
No, not
lady
bits.
Female.
Retract. Don't ever call any confectionery that. I'm sorry, Rachel. I think you raise a good point, but maybe we could just go with large and small.
Yeah, that's better.
Nice.
And then people's insecurities will not be offended.
Thanks, Rachel.
Go show.
Happy Ever After. All new offspring. 8:30 Wednesdays on 10.
Pop quiz.
This is Matt and Joe's $10,000 pop quiz on 101.9 The Fox.
Yeah, and season 3 of Offspring is back on Channel 10. We're excited about that. And hopefully, Rachel, you can win $10,000 this morning on 50-50 Friday.
Oh, hopefully. That would be absolutely awesome.
Rachel, do you only have a crack on 50-50 Fridays or you try every day?
No, we have been trying every day or ever since it started, me and my son. So hopefully...
Here you are.
How old is your son?
He is 9.
Oh, wow. Beautiful. So he's your little wingman.
Oh, definitely.
Does he know a bit about pop culture himself?
Oh, he has a go at it. So, and even if he's wrong, he goes, oh, I was going to say this.
That's so cute.
All righty, Rach. We would love to give the money away. We feel it's the best chance at it on 50-50 Friday. You're just giving your statements, and all you say is true or false. You get 10 right, you get 10,000 bucks.
Brilliant.
I'm so excited for you, nerves. Rachel.
Hey, what's your little boy's name?
Caleb.
Good luck, Caleb, to you too.
That's right. Big, deep breath. Your time starts now. One Direction is touring Australia in September next year.
False.
Deborah Mailman starred in the TV series The Secret Life of Us.
Pass.
Elle Macpherson has 4 kids.
False.
In the TV series Offspring, Nina is an obstetrician.
False.
MasterChef's Hayden Quinn was the runner-up in Clio's Bachelor of the Year.
False.
Bryn Edelston's maiden name is Jones.
True.
This scene is from the movie Superbad.
McLovin? What kind of a stupid name is that, Fogel? What, are you trying to be an Irish R&B singer?
True.
Gautier has the number one single on the American Hot 100.
True.
50 Cent's birth name was Curtis Jackson.
True.
Sophie Monk was a member of the girl band All Saints.
False.
Deborah Mailman starred in the TV series The Secret Life of Us.
True. Oh, see how we go, Caleb.
We got all the answers in there.
Great work from Caleb there,
all
too.
All 10 questions.
No.
Okay. Are you worried about any?
There was a couple we took a guess on. There was a couple hopefully we were 100% on.
Which were the guesses?
The American number one.
Okay, well, you took a guess on the American number one, and guess what?
It was true. Okay,
yes.
It was correct.
You were right.
Yes.
Any other guesses you worried about?
Oh, my God, I can't even remember the questions, to tell you the truth.
All right, well, that makes it hard for us to tell you if you're right and wrong on specific ones.
You're going to put me in suspense, aren't you?
No, the drums run out soon. We haven't paid for the full edition today. So we can tell you that you have won, Rachel.
One. Oh, great. $50 is better than nothing.
No, $350 is what you've won.
Yeah.
Oh,
awesome.
It was W-O-N, not O-N-E.
You got seven.
Seven out of ten.
7 out of 10.
Yeah.
But you know, I will say, Rachel, a lot of people would have gone, ooh, you got the very first one wrong.
I'm over the One Direction thing, sorry.
Yeah, fair enough.
Well,
yeah.
You've got till next...
I knew they're out here now, but I didn't know next year.
Yeah, they're coming next year as well.
They're 2 grand finals away, so that's still a fair bit of space.
I think the footy takes preference over them anyway.
Sure. It is true that Nina is an obstetrician in Offspring.
Oh, I thought she was a pediatrician.
No, and Bryn Edelston's maiden name was Jones. Said yes. No, it was Gordon. Bryn Gordon. Flash Gordon, you might call her now, I reckon.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, I was thinking more like Anna Nicole Smith.
Similarities.
$350 for the weekend
there,
Rachel. I wonder if there
was in school with her busty appearance. Flash.
Joe's next guest is a permanent member of the Fox family. When she filled in on the show a while ago, she redefined breakfast radio as we know it.
Adam Richards said he's got a new crack in his house from
it. Has he really?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
I could at least call him his boyfriend. I know, I wish he was here.
Would have whacked you did snort.
Wow, let's get the super slow-mo replay of that. It's the Beaconsfield actor who's... it's Mikkola Bennis.
Mikkola, as I like to be called,
I have forgotten you're a snorter.
Naughty.
Lovely
I
knew to have
something's
you.
Really funny. Do I really let one out?
Well, that so on reflection, speak. I think I was just really crass. So you might add that to your repertoire of snorting as well.
There it is.
That's right. It's lovely to have you in.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
You're here because we love you, but also because
and I love you.
You're starring in Beaconsfield, which is on screens on Sunday night, the story of the Beaconsfield mine.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah, I'm playing a wife.
Right, you're playing the rice of Todd Russell, who's the big one. I get their names confused. Yeah.
The big tall guy with the goatee.
Brandt. Yeah, yes. Brandt was on Excess Baggage. There is a lot of responsibility with this story. It's up there, I guess, with the Chamberlain story, the Threadbow story, in that every Australian feels they have some ownership of it, that they still remember how they felt about it, so you better not muck it up.
Totally. There's I mean, it's a privilege to play a real person, but, the responsibility is pretty massive.
Mm.
I understand that Todd, the real Todd, not Lockie Hume who plays your Todd, took you down into the mine.
Yeah, when I went down to shoot, the last few days were shot in Beaconsfield, and I went down a bit early just to hang out with them because I'd spent some time with Todd and Carolyn and their kids and got to know them. And so
you lived there, for a couple of days?
Yeah, we stayed with them. Stay with them. I went down before shooting.
And you were
shooting.
Just watching her? She butted
the
door?
Well, that's creepy. The thing, I didn't want to make her feel like she was all like, being lurked on or, under a microscope.
Like
or
you're
anything.
In the corner with a notebook.
Yeah, just like, she moved her hand to the left. So I just thought, I'll just hang out with them and get us, because she was really private, so not that many people know what she looks like or what she's like.
I don't really know much about the wives.
So I just had spent time with them. But then, went down and the opportunity for me to go down into Beaconsfield Mine came up with Todd, and he
go in there again. It's open.
Oh no, it's not. Well, they're still mining in there.
Oh.
So he took me down and we went down to where they were buried. He showed me where they rescued them from.
How far is that?
That's at 925 meters underground, where they were buried at the 925 shaft.
Right.
Look at me with all the lingo.
Yeah.
Wow.
And, we know about shafting and radio.
And, showed me where they'd been rescued. And actually, we went right down to the very, very bottom of the mine at 1,210 metres.
Before we get to you, how was he going back down there?
He's fine.
No problem.
He took his father down a week after they were rescued and showed him. So he still works in the mine. It's Brandt that won't set foot on the mine.
What's it like down there?
It's really interesting. A lot of people get very claustrophobic and freaked out and can't go in. And I wasn't sure how I was going to be, but I was okay. It's the darkness. The darkness is when you turn your cap lamps off. I've never experienced darkness like that. Todd had his hand millimeters from my face, and I couldn't even sense it.
No,
and then right at the bottom, it's like 40 degrees and humid.
Were you getting near the core?
Yeah.
Near the magma.
We're getting near the core exactly.
So you come up with a tan?
Yeah. I came. I lost a car. I reckon that's they drink about 8 liters of water a shift.
Wow.
In there?
Where do they wee then? Because when you're drinking... Well,
I don't know. I don't know.
It's a man's world.
That's the question a lot of people ask about when the boys were trapped underground and how they did their business. There is a scene.
I believe in the...
It all is revealed.
Okay.
really?
Playing this woman who you obviously spent time with and you met, I've seen the promos and you look very different.
Mm. Yeah, I did a little bit of...
kilos?
Physical transformation.
What happened?
I put on a little bit of weight, and I don't really want her to know that, but she's had 3 children and I have
had
none.
But you're minute as well.
And I'm a pipsqueak, I was going to put on 10 kilos and I got about 4 or 5 on and realised it kind of wasn't going where I wanted it to go. Typical. You don't get to choose.
Were you hoping?
Or women to breasts. What a pity.
Well, boobs. I wanted it to go to my boobs and to sort of get a bit of a belly. It was just going straight to my bum and my thighs, darling,
I know.
Typical.
I read that your co-star, Lockie Hume, put on 20 kilos, but he said most of it was muscle.
I know. Bless him. Yeah. He did train hard because Todd's like solid as. Like he's a nuggety man. So he had to put on some size for sure. And he did.
No makeup for you either, I hear.
No makeup.
Wow.
How's that? Is that
great?
Weird?
It's quick in the morning. Yeah. In there, 5 minutes, you're out, straighten my hair down.
Is it a bit confronting to see yourself on the screen?
You know what?
Back
I had
like
a moment. We did a photo shoot and, because I saw myself in the mirror or whatever, but I had... the clothes and the hair and no makeup and we did a photo shoot and I walked back behind the camera because then they were doing a couple of pictures of just Lockie and I caught the monitor and went, oh my God, like literally recoiled in horror because I just wasn't, I don't know, I wasn't prepared or something.
To see yourself like that.
And that's me, in a few years after I've had some kids and I went, wow.
Are you okay? Ready.
I'm all right. But on screen, I've seen it now, and on screen, I'm like, well, I think that represents, she wouldn't have makeup on.
No.
She was in the middle of a
And I read that Todd said at moments he saw you do things and mannerisms where he went, God, that is my wife.
Yeah, he came to watch the first few days of shooting and it was pretty full on because he hadn't ever really thought about what his wife had gone through. And, he freaked out, actually, and which was a massive compliment. And then, we had to have a bit of a hug and cry it out.
Oh, right. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to see it.
Full on. It was so emotional.
Wow. Well, I'm sure the whole of Australia is watching and waiting to see.
I hope so. Yeah.
I can't
it's
wait.
An incredible story.
We are hanging out to watch it. Beaconsfield, it premieres, it is on this Sunday, 8:30 on Channel 9.
Congrats to you on the gig. It's awesome.
Oh, thanks. Mm. Yeah, great. It was, a privilege, absolutely.
Terrific. Give us a snort before you go.
Michaela Bannis on the Matt and Joe Show. Great to see you. They're always brand new, 7:50 on Friday mornings. Maddie, what have we got today?
It's a lovely story. A young couple recently married and, he accidentally lost his work bag in the city after a bit of a night out.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't have been a problem. He could have replaced his heavy operator's license, his forklift license, his scaffolding papers. But unfortunately, his wife's good Tupperware and cutlery was also in that bag.
The Tupperware.
Yes.
The disaster.
And the good cutlery.
God, women
obviously
love
from
their
the wedding.
Tupperware too.
Good spoon.
Yes. Anyway, so he's not particularly enamoured with the city folk. He's a country boy and he figures something's gone wrong, someone's stolen it. They're all excuses. But she said he would have just been drunk and lost it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So how does he go when out of the blue a call turns up to suggest that he might be able to get back in the good books with his wife because someone has found the bag? You'd leap at it, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's see how he goes.
All right, here it is. Brandy got your call on the Matt and Joe Show.
Hello.
Is this Mr. Adam?
Yes.
Mr. Adam, you don't know me. My name is Ajib. I'm calling up. I think I might have something that belongs to you.
Okay.
Found outside my restaurant in the city is a bag, a black bag with contents.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And some identifications that would relate to you, I think.
Yes.
With this number. You have lost a bag, yes?
Yep.
And I imagine that you would be wanting it back.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, it's been missing for about a month. So which restaurant are you at?
You know, I think before we are revealing this sort of information, we perhaps want to undergo a negotiation as to what is appropriate recompense for finding bag.
What do you want a reward for finding my bag for?
Seems only fair that a little something is found my way.
If I found your bag, I would ring you up and I wouldn't be asking for a reward.
I have not lost my bag.
No, but what I'm saying is, mate, I think it's just common courtesy. It's just the Australian way, mate, that you just, if you find someone else's property, you either hand it in to the police or you let them know.
I'm not needing to call police because I've managed to track you down.
Okay, well, how about I just say that I want my bag back, but I'm not going to give you a reward.
Oh, no, buddy, it doesn't work like that.
So if I give you a reward, what's going to happen then?
Well, if I believe that the reward is appropriate, then I'm handing over bag.
What you're doing is criminal by threatening that... It is criminal, mate. And if I want to get the police involved, I will.
You can try all that, but I might just take a dump in your bag and put it in the Yarra River.
You do not have moral fiber, mate.
You don't talk to me like that. You've got no idea what I'm like. I already support many...
I know this much. But you are threatening to take a dump in my bag and put it in the bin.
The only thing you need to worry about, fibre, is how continent it's going to make me when I take a big dump in your bag, okay?
Yeah, well, guess what, mate? The good thing about you is you're so tough. You talk tough on the phone, mate, but you got nothing when it comes to handing me my bag in person or doing any of that.
We've got to work out what the reward is before we start thinking about what's going to happen with the bag handover.
You tell me what you expect.
Well, I'm thinking $1,000 is a good amount.
$1,000
reward for all your things.
Yeah, mate, I don't need it that bad.
All right, well, let's talk the turkey. How much are you thinking?
$50, mate.
Come on, big boy. You don't need to play Mr. Dick and Balls with me. You know $50
well,
is nothing.
Well, I do, mate, because you're carrying on like a pork chop.
You know, here I am helping you out of a situation.
Mate, you're not helping me out of a situation. Oh, you got me bag, and then you wanted $1,000 to give it back to me because you found it outside your restaurant.
But you needed taking bag into the city, you fool. You obviously drink too much, party boy. You forget where your bag goes. You go home to your missus. You tell a big fat lie. I don't know what happened. Somebody stole it. I'm not stupid.
You are stupid, mate. You're a
f***ing it seems to me we might have jumped the shark here, and you're...
You're ready, we'll take a dump in me bag, chuck it in the air. I couldn't give a f***, mate.
Will you get...
The moralist f***ing... You're the scum of the earth, mate.
Oh, listen...
You're the kind of person that they talk on a current affair, mate.
Well, you just...
I'll give you my address, I'll come alone, you bring five of your mates.
Oh, you want to have a stout?
I'll be there alone, mate.
And you're going to take on one man versus five?
Yes, mate.
We will pump you like a flat tire.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd love to see that, mate. Jeez, you're making me laugh now, mate.
I tell you what's really funny. Right now, I'm taking out your heavy machinery license, and it's going down in my undies like an FPOS machine. I tell you how it's...
Lucky day, mate. You're going to be traced.
Let me tell you how it's your lucky day, okay?
Okay, yeah, you tell me.
Well, I decide we can give you your bag back for nothing. Okay, if you just say, I'm sorry for all the disgusting things that I've said.
And you're going to give it back to me, huh?
Yeah, if you can say that.
No, I'm not going to say that, mate. Because you know what, mate? You're a...
Oh, now listen here, buddy.
Guess what?
What?
This call's been traced, mate.
Do you know where you can trace
it? I'm going to push it that far just so we can get people like you exposed.
I'm already exposed. There are already hundreds of thousands of people who know about me.
Yeah?
Yes, because... I work on the radio on Fox FM. This is a gotcha call.
Are you kidding me?
Adam, it's Matt Tilley here from the Fox.
Yeah, how you going?
I'm going a bit better than you, I think.
Yeah, you are. Actually, you're getting a lot better than I am.
Kate sent in a little scam for us to try and wind you up a bit.
Yeah, it worked.
I think she's well and truly gotcha.
She has, mate. She's got me right.
Direct from fox.com.au, the Matt and Joe Show podcast.